Rafael.
Thank you very much, Mr. Chairman. Let me thank Professor Gineo and the rest of the organizers for inviting me to participate in this meeting. My task today is quite easy. I will review for you the current therapy of HIV infection, taking into account that probably in 1 or 2 years, everything I will show you will be out, because the new DAA, the new direct antiviral agents, will modify the approach and treatment of HIV infection. So let me first to show you that there is a changing phase in the HIV infection, not only in US but globally. And you can see here that the peak incidence of the infection probably is decreasing. In fact, we have less naive genotype 1, the typical patient, are decreasing. But in fact, the consequences of the infection, that means the chronic liver disease, liver cirrhosis, is increasing and probably will increase over the next 5 to 10 years. So probably we're seeing the consequences of the long time of infection that most patients acquired during the 50s or 60s many years ago, and they are presenting now with the progression of the liver disease. I think it is very important to know that the paradigm of treatment now is, as you all know, the combination of pegylated interferon and ribavirin. For genotype 1, 4, 5, and 6, the combination of PEG and RIBA body weight adapted is the rule, treating them for 48 weeks, and we can get between 40 to 50% sustained virological response. For those easy-to-treat patients infected by genotype 2 or 3, the standard of care means 800 milligrams of RIBA daily with PEG interferon for 24 weeks, and we can get a sustained virological response between 75 to 82%, so quite right. But you all know that there are many adverse effects with interferon and RIBA, and we can only get less than half of patients infected by genotype 1 get sustained virological response. Another important difference with other infections, for instance with HBV or HIV, is that HCV is a curable disease. HCV does not integrate into the genome of the hepatocyte, and that means that when we achieve sustained virological response, we in fact can cure the patient and kill the infection. And this is very well proven in many studies following patients after SVR for 10 to 15 years, and the absolutely majority of patients, more than 97-98%, remain HCV negative, free of disease, with a resolution or at least an important improvement of the liver disease. We know, and these are data from Sabino Bruno, very interesting data coming from him some years ago in 2007, that this is not a cosmetic treatment. This, in fact, it has a clinical translation of the SVR. And you can see here patients with liver cirrhosis, 920 patients, 142 patients had achieved SVR, all with liver cirrhosis. And you can see here the difference between those achieving SVR and those without SVR. You can see here the clinical complications, development of liver cancer or liver-related death, and you can see there are important statistical significant differences among those who achieved sustained virological response and those who didn't get it. So it means that treatment is not only a cosmetic treatment, but in fact has a clinical translational consequence. And more recently, Sabino gave us another way of approaching the issue. That means the percentage of patients developing esophageal varices according to the SVR. You can see here those achieving sustained virological response. None of them presented varices, while many patients, not achieving sustained virological response, in fact, develop them. So it is very clear that with treatment, we can improve the situation, the progression of the liver disease. We have learned many different predictive factors during the last years. I will not approach the steatosis because I'm sure that Alfredo Alberti showed yesterday the pathogenesis and the relationship between liver steatosis and HCV infection. But we have learned different parameters, different predictors of response, even before treatment or during treatment. Let me show you some of them. I think the most relevant identification last year was the identification of the single nucleotide polymorphism at the allele C or T of the IL-28B in chromosome 19. And this type of analysis may predict or may divide those patients with the ability of response to interferon and those without this ability. And this is clearly demonstrated in many trials. This is a repeated slide from G. This is the identification of those patients with the allele CC in different ethnics in U.S., European Americans, African Americans, Hispanics are combined. And you can see that for every type, for every ethnic situation, the allele CC responds much more than those with the allele TT or the TCT. And you can see that for every population, this is reproducible. So during therapy, we have learned that time to HCV RNA clearance is probably the most accurate way of predicting response. And you can see here different types of response, and we now know that those patients achieving rapid virological response, that means those patients who are HCV RNA negative after 4 weeks of therapy, and especially if they maintain the response after 12 weeks, which is the extended rapid virological response, are the most easy to treat patients. They have the higher chance of achieving a sustained virological response. In fact, those with complete early virological response after 12 weeks still maintain a big chance of sustained virological response. You can see here the data from the study from Peter Ferenczi some years ago in Journal of Hepatology showing that those patients who were negative after 4 weeks and negative after 12 weeks had 91% chance of achieving sustained virological response. This is extremely important because this helps the physician and the patient to support the adverse events of treatment, and you can always predict after 4 or 12 weeks the chance of achieving sustained virological response. When you go to the right and you get patients who are 2 log decrease after 4 weeks and negative after 12 weeks, you still have 72% chance of sustained virological response. For those who are negative after 12 weeks and show a less than 2 log decrease after 4 weeks, you still have 60%. But if you go for 2 log decrease after 4, 2 log decrease after 12, and only negative after 24 weeks, the chance of sustained virological response clearly decreases to 40 to 50%, which means that probably in the future we have to address, we have to approach the treatment of this population of patients in a different way, probably adding some type of direct antiviral agent. So, as I tell you, the IL-28 may predict the sustained virological response. And what is more important, it may predict the sustained virological response in those patients without rapid virological response. If you look at the slide, you can see here, and this is very easy, those who achieve rapid virological response, the majority of them, independently of the allele of the CC or CT or TT allele in the IL-28 respond to treatment. 100%, 76, 85%. So the rapid virological response takes the lead. So is the most important factor for those achieving rapid virological response. But please pay attention to those non-rapid virological responders, patients who do not achieve HCV RNA negativization after 4 weeks. You can see, and this is the majority of patients, and you can see here that there is a big difference between those with the allele CC, and you can see that 66% of them achieved sustained virological response, while those with the other alleles, TT or CT, only 24 to 30% of patients may, at the end of treatment, eventually achieve sustained virological response. So again, I think that this may be an important factor in the future to add some other drug or some other combination of drugs to improve the situation of this population of patients. Another important issue that we have learned, and it was not easy at that time, is that the dose of ribavirin for genotype 1 is essential, and we should adapt the dose of riba to the body weight of the patients. You can see here in the very initial old trials, registrational trials from Michael Mans, that in 2001, that for every dose of interferon, the dose of riba was essential to get sustained virological response. This was also proven in the study from Stefanos Hatzidiannis in 2002, showing that for genotype 1, there was a clear difference between those patients treated for 48 weeks and adapting the dose of ribavirin to the body weight compared to a fixed dose of ribavirin, 40 to 51%, which was not the same for genotype 2 and 3. Those patients achieved the sustained virological response with a fixed dose of riba. Again, this was well proven in a U.S.-based study conducted by Ira Jacobson, showing that for patients with high viral load, even with low viral load, infected by genotype 1, the dose of riba was essential to increase the chance of sustained virological response. Another important issue that we are still discussing is, can extended therapy duration increase sustained virological response? And I have to tell you, the studies performed in genotype 1 patients have been very heterogeneous, with different ribavirin doses, with different criteria for selecting patients for longer therapy. Some of them were retrospective, some of them prospective, and the results are not so clear. This is the summary, and this is a busy slide, but just to show you the design of our study done in our hospital, but including 1,400 patients from 140 different hospitals in the world. And these patients were selected according to the definition of slow response, those who achieved more than 2 log decrease after 12 weeks and were negative after 24 weeks. Those patients were assigned to receive 48 or 72 weeks of therapy, of combination therapy with PEG, RIBA, body weight adapted. Just to show you the results, the difference was not statistically significant between 48 weeks or 72 weeks, 43 to 48%. So there was a trend to improve the sustained virological response, but not significant among 1,400 patients, which means that probably the situation is not very clear. And one of the reasons for this to not have difference was because the withdrawal of patients was clearly different among patients treated for 48 weeks or 72 weeks. The dropout was 23% among those receiving therapy for 72 weeks compared to 9% in those receiving for 48 weeks. So again, I think this is not very clear. So probably extension of therapy may benefit some patients, but very, very selected patients. And you can see here some of the results of the trials done in that sense. And you can see here when they used low doses of Riva, they used 800 milligrams daily of Riva. Both in the Berg study or the Sanchez-Tapia study, there was a clear difference between those receiving treatment for 48 or 72 weeks. But this was due to the low dose of Riva. For new studies, this from Ferenczi and our study, with the body weight adapted dose of Riva, there is a small difference, but not statistically significant. There is a trend to improve, but not enough to justify prolongation of therapy for everybody. What about genotype 2 and 3? So we still don't know whether prolonging therapy in these patients is a good recommendation. In fact, we have data from Alexandra Manja showing that prolonging therapy in those patients without rapid virological response, infected by genotype 2 or 3, prolonging therapy from 24 weeks to 36 in this study does not provide any additional sustained virological response. So we still don't know whether prolongation to 48 weeks or more could be benefit for some of these particular patients. We are not sure. And what is quite clear, if for those easy-to-treat patients infected by genotype 2 or 3 and achieving rapid virological response, you can shorten therapy from 24 to 12 weeks with the same sustained virological response. What about the dose of medication? So could we decrease adverse events and discontinuations by decreasing doses of pegylated interferon? It is clearly affirmative. You can see here the results of the IDEAL trial, as you know, including 3,000 patients in U.S. and comparing both pegylated interferons and two different doses of PEG interferon alpha 2B. And you can see here that the results using 1.5 or 1 microgram per kilogram per week showed the same type of sustained virological response, 40 to 38%, and this was with PEG alpha 2A, 41%. So in all three groups achieved the same virological response. So in some cases, with intolerance to pegylated interferon, the dose of PEG can be reduced, getting the same amount or the same rate of sustained virological response. Again, we have had some lessons from the IDEAL trial, some additional information, and this means that there is a relationship between the degree of anemia, so the degree of hemoglobin decrease over treatment, and the rate of response. And you can see here the higher the anemia, so the higher the decrease in hemoglobin, the higher the chance of sustained virological response. There are different studies showing now that probably there are genetic factors involved in this type of response, and probably a polymorphism identified in the ITP allele could explain this relationship. But in fact, so is the only case in medicine that anemia is good because translates the chance of getting a sustained virological response. What about shortening therapy? It was clear from some trials some years ago that those patients infected by genotype 1 with low viral load and rapid virological response could benefit from shortening therapy to 24 weeks. And these are the results of different trials, and you can see that for those patients with baseline low viral load, that means less than 400,000 international units per ml, the response rate using 24 weeks of therapy is clearly very, very, very high. 89% in the paper from Stefan Seisen, 77% in the Ferenczi trial. So these are very nice results. And here you can see, again, from Alessandra Mangia, the results going to 24 weeks were 77% in those patients with low viral load and rapid virological response. Unfortunately, this represents only a minority of patients, only no more than 15. They say in Italy probably is higher, and some Massimo Colombo told me that about 25% of patients probably could benefit from this shortening of therapy. In our experience, no more than 15% of patients, genotype 1 patients, may benefit of that. But anyway, there is a possibility. What about genotype 2 and 3? You can see here the percentage of sustained virological response. Depending on the randomization baseline, there is the result of the accelerated trial by Mick Schiffman, and you can see that they got a difference between shortened therapy 16 weeks to 24 weeks, and you can see there is a difference. But again, if you randomize patients after 4 weeks of therapy, those who achieve rapid virological response, you can shorten therapy from 24 to 12 or 16 weeks, and you can get the same rate of sustained virological response. This is the German study, this is the Italian study from Alessandra. And you can see here, for those who do not achieve rapid virological response, who are still positive after 4 weeks of therapy, you can get a big difference, 22 to 33% treating for 24 weeks. So the standard of care in that situation should be at least 24 weeks of therapy. And this is a new proposal for patients infected for genotype 2 and 3. I'm sorry for the quality of this slide. You can see here patients after 4 weeks, those who are negative, less than 12 to 15 international units per ml, if the baseline HBRNA is less than 10 to the 6th, you can treat them between 12 to 15 weeks with a chance of sustained virological response very high. If the baseline viral load was high, probably it's better to maintain the standard of care for 24 weeks. For those being still HBRNA positive after 4 weeks, we need a re-evaluation at week 12. For those who achieve more than 2 log decline, we probably recommend to treat for 24 to 48 weeks. For those who do not achieve this decrease, this 2 log decrease, we probably recommend the discontinuation of the therapy because the chance of sustained virological response is very, very low. So again, I think that we should focus on genotype 2 and 3 because the direct antiviral agents, the first generation, does not apply for genotype 2 and 3. So probably we will have huge patients, especially affected by genotype 3, not responding to the combination therapy, and this will be a challenge for all the clinicians. And finally, this is my last slide for genotype 4. Again, we have learned that individualized therapy according to the response, the HBRNA response, may be helpful. You can see here those patients treated for 24 weeks, 48% end of treatment, 29% sustained virological response. When Dr. Kamal in Egypt prolonged therapy to 36 weeks, she got a very high 68% sustained virological response, and this was not different prolonging therapy to 48 weeks. So probably for the majority of patients, according to the rapid virological response for genotype 4, 36 weeks of therapy could be enough to achieve a sustained virological response. So, dear colleagues, in summary, the combination of PEG and RIBA is the standard of care. That is very clear. It is essential an appropriate dose of ribavirin to increase the chance of sustained virological response. Decreasing the dose of PEG interferon is a safe and efficacious option for patients with bad tolerance to the treatment of adverse events during treatment. And therapy up to now can be individualized, shortening duration in patients with low viral load, rapid virological response, and probably for those with the favorable allele CC of the IL-28. Prolonging HCV therapy can benefit very selected patients. Probably young patients with good adherence, low virological response, and probably, again, IL-28, BCC allele. And finally, and this is a real challenge and a very exciting challenge, when new direct antiviral agents are approved, all that we have learned with the current therapy will be very useful to optimize treatment with the new drugs. But again, we should prove that all these predictive factors apply to the combination of new antiviral agents. Thank you very much for your attention.